Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy holidays, happy post-Christmas. I hope you're clean out of your sauerkraut and kielbasa from Wise Markets is going as well as mine is, as well as a cleanup of panettone and other holiday. I even have some eggnog left. I have some pumpkin eggnog left over. Tell you what we have left over. We're going to play playoff football here 2 weeks from now, and it's a little strange because I don't know that we've seen this team look like a playoff team in like a long, 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 long time. Luke Jones joins us now. He was present, or as you would say in my Spanish class, aquí, there at the Ravens game. It was cold. There weren't a whole lot of people there. Tickets were free or $5, depending on where you checked. But they checked the boxes to get it done, right? So in the global sense of they're a playoff team, and look at that. There's two games left against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. They matter, but they don't really matter, and how much they matter, we're going to find out this week. And then they go flex in the game. Luke, it's been an eventful Christmas weekend here. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hope you, your family, your niece, your brother-in-law, everybody's doing great. Y'all looked awesome, Deacon Jones.
Appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you as well. And yeah, I mean, I think the word that I kept coming back to from Saturday's game was fine. It wasn't anything that really made me change my opinion of the Baltimore Ravens to any meaningful degree, other than the fact that it's another game in which Lamar Jackson didn't play and John Harbaugh didn't really offer much clarity after the game, other than just to say that Lamar's working hard to get back. Training staff's working hard to get him back. Is he going to play this week against Pittsburgh? I don't know. And I think based on some of the national reports we've heard over the last week or so, I don't think anyone outside of maybe Lamar Jackson knows at this point in time. But as it pertains to the game, 17-9, nothing that you're going to hang your hat on and say, wow, that really made me change my mind on the Ravens. They ran the ball well. They played good defense. Was it the most impressive performance? Not really. I mean, you're going up against another NFC South team, as I joked about with Dennis Kolatsis last week. Maybe the Ravens, one of the things they have to be most grateful for is they've played the NFC South this year when you look at how that division has fared. But
they could have lost on Saturday. They were not have, sure. Impressively better than that poor kid running around with the Falcons. I mean, they don't look like a good football team right now. So we can say that up and down. And if they're still playing in the AFC championship game because the ball rolled the right way, or they stopped the run on a certain day, or they stripped three balls in Buffalo and somehow miraculously beat the Bills 23-21. I don't know. Like, I'm playing those scenarios out. I keep waiting to see a good football team that we've been wanting to see, that we believed at various points in September, maybe even in October, even when they were blowing leads, we're like, they had a 3-touchdown lead. Well, what's not the, you know, they were a good team. What I wrote in my column this last week is, I don't think they're a good team right now. And even with Lamar back, maybe they're a good team, but they're not a great team.
Yeah. And that's what I would say. I mean, I think they're good. Are they any better than that? And that's the big question. And it's so difficult to tell beyond the obvious of you don't have your franchise quarterback, your former NFL MVP quarterback at the helm. And Tyler Huntley on Saturday made a couple plays with his arm, played mostly clean football, didn't really find much running room. I mean, in fact, I mean, the Ravens ran him too much, quite frankly. But, you know, he's your backup quarterback. You can't expect much more than what he's been able to do these last few
years. You won with your backup quarterback. That's really hard. It's hard to win with your starting quarterback in the league.
Exactly. So that's what you keep coming back to. But then I was looking at the schedule, Nestor. The Ravens have not played a team that currently has a winning record since the Giants in Week 6. And look, that's not anything they have to apologize for. But it just adds to this question that you just presented of, are they good? If they are good, which I do think they're good, are they any better than that? And it's just so difficult to tell on so many different levels right now. I think the defense is good and really good at times. Do I think it's a great defense? Well, it's hard to tell if you're going up against Desmond Ridder, or, you know, we're going to see them go up against Kenny Pickett on Sunday Night Football, or, you know, go down the Russell Wilson, how awful he looked on Christmas Day, and, you know, go down the list of quarterbacks they've faced of late. And it's just, you know, it hasn't been stellar competition, which, again, you don't apologize for. And they played some tougher teams earlier in the season, even if they were games they lost. But all of those factors that you look at, you just say, okay, they're running the ball really well with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Greg Roman didn't lean as hard into it as he could have on Saturday, but I think for the most part, Tyler Huntley only threw 17 passes. I mean, I think that was something that people were looking to see, mostly running the ball.
It wasn't even 17 degrees.
Right. It was definitely a day I was glad to be in the press box.
Well, the first pass he threw looked like Phil Niekro. I was like, oh, wow, it's going to be one of those days, is it? I mean, if he can't throw the ball 10 yards in a straight line because of the wind, we're going to be in the 99 percentile of running. It didn't turn out to be quite that way, but it felt that way in the beginning.
It did. And keep in mind, he also dealing with a little bit of a sore shoulder, too. I mean, that was something he even showed up on the injury report.
One more reason not to be running in the linebackers.
Right. So, you look at that. They did make a couple chunk plays in the passing game. Sammy Watkins, right, just back from Green Bay, and he makes a play on a scramble drill. And, we saw Mark Andrews make a 36-yard catch. So just a couple plays. Hey, one thing we should point out, as much as we're saying, well, they didn't look all this impressive. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. A wide receiver caught a touchdown pass, Nestor. First time since week three. So there
since
you go.
The leaves have changed, they would say.
Exactly. So, but in all seriousness, I mean, you keep coming back to it, and we sound like a broken record here, but it's just the truth right now. Until you see Lamar Jackson back on the field and seeing what he looks like when he gets back on the field, if it's a version of him that's 100% or very close to 100%. Until we see that, it's just so difficult to make much of anything out of this, other than the fact that, yes, they've held on. They've stayed afloat. Again, that's a testament to Tyler Huntley and the rest of the roster that, hey, yeah, Lamar's their best player, but they still have found ways to win games.
They would be better served, and we'll argue all week, to just shut this thing down the next 2 weeks and bring him out of the closet, let him run around, let him be 100% healthy, and try to win three games on the road, in my opinion. Now, you're going to say they're there to fight and they're there to win the division and they can go to Cincinnati. Blah, 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 they're on national TV. I don't know if they're going to pull Lamar out, but all I know is Lamar better be healthy on January 14, 15, 16. By the way, they play a Monday night game that wildcard weekend. It's really weird, right? Like, they could play any of those dates. I guess, if they're the top wild card, they would probably be headed to Nashville or or Jacksonville. I don't know at this point. London, who knows where they'll play, right? But I would say at this point, to think they're going to win the division, that's what they're taught. That's what you're going to hear all week out there, right? That we win here, then we go to Cincinnati, take it to them, and we get a home game, right? Like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I mean, I guess for me, and I hear what you're saying, and if that extra week makes that big of a difference for Lamar Jackson at that point, if we're talking he misses this game and week 18, then we're talking, well, he's missed over a month then. If that extra week does make that big of a difference, sure, I'm on board with that. But if it's a case where then you're still wondering wild card weekend, if he's right then physically, I mean, I just don't know. I will say this, Nestor. He was in the postgame locker room. He wasn't walking around with a big brace on or anything like that. At the same time, would I look at him and say, oh, he's ready to play football in 3 days. He's going to be back in the practice field in 3 days. I don't know. It was kind of – he was walking, but – wasn't jumping around or goofing around or anything like that. And I'm not saying he should have been.
Well, it's a different thing being able to move around and him being really fast and the fastest man on earth and all that. And then having TJ Watt track him down when he's only at 80% Sunday night and it's 15 degrees out. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference between him or if Joe Flacco in his fifth season had suffered an injury like that, where you say, okay, you give him, misses maybe a couple weeks, and then you put a knee brace on him, and he's going to play from the pocket a little bit more than normal. You don't want to do that with Lamar Jackson. I mean, that takes away the thing that makes him the most special. He's a special quarterback. I mean,
you're not winning playoff games with him standing in the pocket gimpy. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Especially with the state of this wide receiver group, the state of this passing game. Right, exactly. I don't disagree
with Snoopy,
you.
So he's throwing the ball to himself.
So for me, I just, I don't want to arbitrarily put a timetable on it. It really comes down to if he's at the point where he's getting closer and closer to 100% now, then yeah, you'd love to have him out there for week 18 against Cincinnati, because if the Ravens can beat Pittsburgh on Sunday night and That leaves them in play for an AFC North championship game in week 18. If they lose, however, and if Cincinnati wins it, keep in mind Cincinnati plays that Monday night game against Buffalo in week 17. The Ravens lose, Cincinnati wins. Well, they clinch the division then, and then there's nothing to play for in week 18 anyway, other than just seeding as a wild card. So, I'm not dismissing the possibility of what you present, but certainly, that's been part of this decision all along. I mean, I wrote the
You're
week that
winning
he
with your
got hurt.
backup, right? I mean, that really hard to do. I mean, when you can take him out and still win games, and Cleveland aside, but I mean, when you can win games without him and rest him, there's something to be said for playing Tyler Huntley. And by the way, it's supposed to be in the 60s on Sunday, just so you know. I don't know if you looked at the forecast. It's supposed to be in. It's hard to think about that after the Christmas weekend here, and the bluster and the cold, but
Right.
it's going to be comfortable on Sunday night, believe it or not.
Well, and if Lamar is in a position where he can practice this week, you'd probably be a little more conducive for him coming back in weather like that, as opposed to being at less than 100% and playing in 15 degree weather, which would have been the case this past week. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, at this point, I think what's very clear is you're not playing games anymore as far as his practice time. He needs to practice at this point to show that his knee's right. This isn't a case where, you send him out there on Friday afternoon and he logs a limited practice and, oh, he might have a chance. No, he's got to practice and he has to practice at least a couple times. And it needs to be at this point close to full practice. I mean, that's how long of a layoff we're talking about now. So do we see it this week? I don't know. I wish I could tell you that. I had such a great feel for where he is physically right now. I wish I could tell you I had a great feel for where he is mentally right now. I mean, we have to talk about it. I know Mike Florio alluded to it on Football Night in America, talking about the fact that, hey, we can't ignore the fact that there's also a business element to this decision for Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying that that absolutely does factor for him, but it is a factor in this situation when you're talking about someone who's unsigned. And I said it to you that the night that he got hurt, when we were talking about this game, that win against Denver, or I guess it might have been a couple days later when the diagnosis came out, with various reports with it being a PCL injury, I reminded that's the injury Breshad Perriman had. I'm not saying this is a Breshad Perriman situation, but the point is a PCL sprain. That has to do with the back of the knee. It does have to do with some stability in the knee. I know that much, just as someone who's covered a lot of sports injuries. I'm not a medical expert, let's be clear, but
Speed's his game.
it can be a tricky injury too. Not just because speed's important to him, but it can be a tricky injury where, the reported timetable originally 1 to 3 weeks. Okay, we're at 3 weeks now, or this past week was the 3rd week. So now you look at it and say, okay. Is he making progress or is this a slower healing situation? Who knows? I mean, it really comes down to that. So, again, saw him in the locker room. He walked. He didn't walk particularly fast, but, I don't expect him to be running through the locker room either. So, I don't want to make too much of it, but it really is at this point a case of until he steps foot on the practice field, him playing's a non-starter. He has to practice at this point. This isn't a case where, oh, the Ravens might show some gamesmanship against the Steelers. No, I mean, we're well past the point where anything like that's happening. Now it's a case of got to get him out there whenever he does take the practice field and you got to see what he looks like. I mean, it really, and that's a factor for the Ravens and it's should be a factor for Lamar Jackson as someone who's a pending free agent and isn't signed beyond this year. So,
How
he
did
doesn't
they
want to
not
do
put him on their Christmas card? Can I mean, like, literally, how
Yeah.
that I'm just saying, like,
Yeah.
opening things up and this notion to where, in my opinion, his relationship with the organization isn't good. And I smell it from things that I've talked to the head coach about in the offseason and where they would be with him contractually, the holding a sign up down on the field 6 weeks ago, the innuendo online about getting paid and his money and where he is. I mean, to say he's a different cat is just to state the obvious, right? He's representing himself. He's as sophisticated as you think he is. Whatever you see is probably what you get in regard to where his mind is in tweeting 2 weeks ago out to a fan and pulling it back, which got me thrown off Twitter. Incidentally, I don't know how that all got worked, but two games left. Can he win a Super Bowl here? Who's in his ear? What's being said to him? How's the knee really? All of this bears some intrigue to me. And I think you know enough being on the inside and me being thrown to the outside to realize there's a story here. I don't know what it is, but it's not just, oh, he's got a knee and he'll be back. To Florio's point, this is where locker room access, sniffing around, talking to people, figuring it out, because to me, there's more here than meets the eye. It's more than just an injury thing or whether they can win a Super Bowl in a couple weeks or whether they think they can win a Super Bowl. And I think we're long past the point where they know whether they're going to sign him or not. You know what I mean? Whether this is going to be, look, in March, all hell's going to break loose. We're going to deal him. We're going to get what we're going to get. We're going to take our hits from our fan base. We're going to do all that. We're not doing this again. You know what I mean? Like, if that's how they feel about the kid, they'll never say that out loud. We'll get that. But my sniffer after Christmas, and I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. So, like, that to me is a non-starter. Like, the thought is, well, we'll go win a Super Bowl. He'll get paid. He'll be healthy. We'll be good. We'll do kumbaya. I think they're going to say that all this week and all next week. But I think deep down in their heart, they have real questions about whether they're going to go win a Super Bowl in the next 6 weeks, even if he's upright and playing well on January 14th, which is really all they need at this point. I mean, I guess that's my point. Like, all this angst and all this other stuff about him and playing, whatever. Dude, just load him up, put him on the ball. Let's get on an airplane wherever we got to go and go play and play with him at 100%. That's better than seeing him run around against the Steelers, even though I thought the weather was going to be bad and the weather's going to be okay on Sunday. I don't feel like I need to see him run around the next 2 weeks. I mean, that's my opinion, that if you're really trying to win a Super Bowl with him, that putting him in the garage wouldn't be such an awful thing. But I think it's more complex than that. Contractually, spiritually, leadership-wise, they didn't put him on their Christmas card, dude. Like, what? What? What?
Yeah, I mean, the Christmas card thing, look, I don't know who signs off on that. I don't know who's in that decision-making process. It's weird, yeah, because you're talking about a guy who's been the face of your franchise, but they've also, that organization's done some weird things. I don't need to tell you that. I mean, you know, so I don't want to speculate too hard on that, but in terms of what you mentioned, I keep coming back to conversations we had at so many different points in the offseason, preseason, until we knew for sure that they had cut off contract talks. Regardless of the volume of the talks or when they took place, we knew when they went into week one and they're going up to play the Jets, we knew at that point they weren't talking contract anymore, even if they hadn't really talked a ton in the weeks leading up to that point. But I keep coming back to that question that I would pose of what would constitute a winning negotiation for the Ravens, or what would constitute a winning negotiation for Lamar Jackson, as far as that, as it relates to the 2022 season. I mean, Lamar hasn't had a fantastic season. The Ravens have certainly not had a good offensive season without him. You know, I mean, look at how they've struggled to score points, even against also-rans in this league in terms of defensive opponents they've faced. So you have that. You have Lamar's perspective in terms of, well, kind of look at the state of the pass catchers here. And, does he have faith in the organization? Does the organization have as much faith in him? I mean, did anything happen or transpire on the field where either side feels better about their position? I think they're both probably dug in on their position, but is there any evidence that really says, oh yeah, you know, we're going to win this thing? The Ravens trading Lamar Jackson, whether it's this offseason, next offseason, if it happens, that's not a win. It's not a win. It's not a win at all. Now, if they get multiple first-round picks and they draft the next Pro Bowl quarterback in franchise history, then great. But they could also draft the next Kyle Bowler, and then you're in purgatory.
Or they could give this kid $250 million and he could be 29 and running into linebackers 4 years from now and not available in week 13 again. Like, I would think that if I'm Eric or John, I like this idea. I like the experiment until every year the kid can't play at Thanksgiving because he's going to get crushed, you know, and he's going to get older and he's going to get caught quicker. And we try to make him a pocket. I mean, They're never going to stand
Well,
up and say the experiment didn't work. They're in the playoffs. They're 10 and
sure.
5. Like, but the that's not the goal. The goal is not
Right.
to make the playoffs with a gimpy quarterback and lose in the first round or the second round. And it's going to feel like such a defeat, right? Like, they're in the playoffs. They're going to play. Like, it blows my mind because I've sat here and watched them play for 10 weeks, and they are nondescript as far as really good teams we've seen here and teams on the brink, either going back to the McNair teams and all the Flacco teams. This is not a great Raven team at all. Like, to think that this team is going to go beat really good teams next month, I don't see it. I don't smell it. And I don't know if they do or not, but I know how crushing it is when they lose. And when Kansas City beats them 31-13 or whatever it'll be, right? And they lose, then what happens? Because all the questions about Lamar, all the money, all the offs, like all of that, then that really percolates to a head. If it's not a parade, it's not good enough here, right? It really isn't.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. It shouldn't be good enough. Not from the standpoint of you expect to make the AFC Championship every year, or you expect to win the Super Bowl every 5 years. But yeah, I mean, the goal is beyond just advancing. That's what makes this whole situation difficult. Because believe me, again, I can see it now, and I'm not saying you specifically, but people are talking more and more about the possibility of the Ravens trading Lamar Jackson. Be careful what you wish for. I'll keep saying that. Again, I hear everything you're saying, and I'm not saying I would just give them a fully guaranteed deal, and that would be that. There's a lot that's baked into this, but drafting a franchise quarterback is not as easy as the Ravens have. You know, it's worked out the last two times they've tried to do it. Are they going to do that three times in a row?
All you have to do is look at the Giants and the Jets and these teams that have just, you know, Sam Darnold and then this Kyle Wilson. Like, I go back to the Lions and Joey Harrington, and, you know, Jamarcus Russell's name came up the other day. And I ran into Kyle Bowler in the pool a couple of years ago in Hawaii, right? Like, so we've been up and down the river with all this, but the question is, are you going to win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson right now? And that's something, and the way they've built around it. By the way, I saw Willie Snead laying blocks the other day. I'm watching and I'm like, he's still in the league. Why is he not here? Because he was the best that they ever had to do what he needed to do. You know what I mean? Like, wait, dollar for dollar, what you really want, and you and I will argue for five more off seasons about what they're looking for at wide receiver and what productivity looks like. And I've asked DaCosta and Harbaugh back when I was a real media member, what does this look like? What is the balance? Like you mentioned, Tyler Huntley throwing 17 passes. They won. You know, that whatever they need to do to win is the right formula for them. And these next couple of weeks, I mean, this is really a treacherous time for them, I think, just in general, because it doesn't feel like they're going to win a Super Bowl, and we know that's not good enough. And then everything else that happens around that and how it relates to Harbaugh, Roman, Bisciotti, you know, how they get coverage in the media, and then this crazy thing that's happening with this quarterback representing himself. He's one of one, the money. It's the Orioles will not be a topic here in March. I'm just telling you, the Ravens will be a bigger topic because they're not going to win the Super Bowl in my mind, you know?
Yeah. But yeah. And I mean, to go back to what you mentioned as far as, you know, these next 2 weeks, and I mean, is there an argument if Lamar Jackson is, you know, this past week was the week where they erred on the side of caution, and they gave him the extra week before he's going back on the practice field. And then he's out there this week. And, you know, whether he plays against Pittsburgh or not, you know, there's certainly value to him playing and trying to get ramped up and trying to get this offense some semblance of momentum going into January. You know, and when I say going into January, obviously meaning the postseason, I know we're going into January later this week. But at the same time, yeah, it is that scenario as far as, you know, how close to 100% is he going to be? You know, what kind of player is he going to be? Is it going to be Lamar business as usual, or is it going to be a 90% version, an 85% version? I mean, that's tough. And that's why I wrote it at BaltimorePositive.com just a couple days after he got hurt. The Ravens couldn't rush him back for all the reasons we've talked about from a football standpoint. And then obviously the big factor that, you know, whether fans want media to talk about it or not, it's there, is the business side of this for him. I mean, it would be foolish for Lamar Jackson or any player in his contractual position to play if they are less than 100% and in a position where you could run the risk of a setback or making the injury worse. I mean, that's just the truth. That's not just the Lamar thing. That would be for anyone in his position.
Well, if Lamar gets injured to end his season at any point here, this week, next week, the week, if he goes down, carts off, not carts, but just limps off, then the whole, like, what's he worth in the offseason when he's not healthy, right? Yeah. Like, he has to walk off wagging his finger, and even if he loses in Buffalo, he has to be healthy walking off the field in order to be that trade thing, all of that, right? I mean,
I agree, but there's also the factor of if he does come back, you know, whether they can beat Cincinnati in week 18 or not. I mean, they're on the road. Look, they'll go there and compete. I mean, I don't think it'll be a situation like last year where they had the junior varsity out there and COVID injuries, all kinds of stuff, and Joe Burrow threw all those yards and they got their butts kicked. I don't think it'll be like that. I mean, this defense is too good for that scenario to play out. But at the same time, if you're Lamar Jackson, there's a scenario where comes back, you know, whether they win in week 18 or not, they play in the first. We know they're not going to have a first round bye. That mathematically, that ship has sailed. If they win in the first round and Lamar looks right, and even if they don't advance beyond the divisional round, but he looks right and their offense looks better, then he's improved his positioning from a negotiating standpoint, saying, hey, did you see what your offense looked like without me? And did you see what it looked like at the end of the year when I came back and was healthy again? You're really.
I don't think he even needs to do that at this point, right?
Well, I'm just. But what I'm saying is he might feel that motivation to that. I mean, look, his body of work speaks for itself. I mean, again, we can debate where he ranks among the top quarterbacks. I mean, he's up there somewhere, you know, whether people want to argue that he's, you know, fourth, sixth, eighth, what, you know, whatever, he's somewhere up in that territory when he's right physically. We've seen it. I mean, the stats bear it out, even if it's a different package compared to just a pure pocket passer. And you know, we've talked about that for the better part of 5 years now, but yeah, I mean, it's such a strange position for the organization to be in at this point where we're talking about Lamar. I think most of us feel it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to move on from Greg Roman at the end of the season, whether Lamar Jackson's our quarterback in 2023 or not. I don't think there's a scenario where it makes a whole lot of sense that Greg Roman's going to be back. You know, they're going to need a pass catcher, you know, whether it's Lamar or some rookie quarterback or someone they trade for or whatever, they've got to address wide receiver. They can't keep doing this. It's almost like they've become George Costanza at that position, where it's just like, you know, the old episode of Seinfeld where he did the opposite of what he thought he should do. And it started working out for him. They need to do the opposite of what they're thinking at wide receiver, because that's just where it is at this point. But, you know, all kidding aside, it's such a tough position because you have had success. Now, has it been Super Bowl? Well, hey, if that's the standard, Josh Allen hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. You know, go down the list of other young quarterbacks not named Patrick Mahomes. They haven't won Super Bowls. So, you know, that's not the lone standard in terms of how you judge whether you're going to sign a quarterback or not. I mean, if Jacoby Jones doesn't catch the Mile High Miracle, that doesn't mean the Ravens were just going to say, oh, we don't want Joe Flacco anymore. You know, they would have still wanted to sign him at that point. Probably wouldn't have been for $120 million at that point in time, but it would have certainly been, you know, at least what they were offering him before the 2012 season. So the point is, yes, that's the ultimate goal, but that can't just be the standard of whether you're going to pay a quarterback or not. It really comes back to, can you win a Super Bowl with your franchise quarterback? And, you know, they're, for the longest time, I've sincerely thought and believed the Ravens could and would win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. Some of this is organizational failing, and I'll continue to go. I'm not going to let them off the hook about wide receiver. I'm just not, period. It's too important of a position for this team to be trotting out the group of wide receivers that they have right now and say that's not below the bar. It's below the bar. But again, you look at this thing in its totality and you just wonder, you know, how much of the status quo needs to change. And Is there a future in place here? Does Lamar Jackson want to be in Baltimore? Do the Ravens still want to commit what they want were offering in the offseason? I mean, I just, to your point, I agree with you.
Complicated.
You just wonder. It's tough. It really is.
Yeah.
There are a lot of layers to this thing. And again, it's not on one specific person, meaning it's not on Lamar Jackson. It's not just on Greg Roman. This is an organizational philosophy, to your point. You talked about this, and we talked about this when the night the Ravens traded back into the end of the first round and took Lamar Jackson. They, at that point, announced they were making a commitment to changing their offensive identity, because they were going from a more traditional, older pocket passer to a quarterback and an offense that, frankly, the league hadn't seen
And by the way, I don't think that they really realized how disinterested wide receivers would be in playing with. They all want to love
understanding.
Lamar online and they tweet at you the man, you the man. I don't want to play there. I mean, like
They also
that's
don't want to pay receivers either. So
okay, but
I mean,
that's
I'm
also
just saying,
true. But they
we
don't
can,
want to pay receivers because they're not going to throw them the ball 14 times on a Sunday.
because to me, that at some point in time, we keep saying that sounds a lot to me like the Orioles can't get any starting pitchers to come to Camden Yards pre-wall, at
Right
some
on.
point in time. And I hear you. Believe me, I am not saying that that's not a variable. I'm just saying that can't be just the blanket excuse for why you have one of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL.
Well,
I mean, that,
this goes
right.
back to you
There's
and
a
I
middle
fighting
ground
last
here.
week for 54 minutes about first
Sure.
round picks and the fact that they Hollywood, Perryman, then Hollywood, then Rashad Bateman. I mean, they've used ones now. Good, bad, injury, bad luck. I mean, Sergio Kindle was bad luck, right? I mean,
Sure.
things happen, but the only way is to draft or to get a Willie Snead because the guys
You
who
can
want the
trade.
ball, or you could trade,
You
fair
can trade.
enough.
I mean, that's an avenue. I mean, I'll remind you. I mean, Anquan Boldin came via trade. I mean, I'm just saying
He was
there
excited to
are
be here.
avenues. But you're right. Again, and that is another part of what makes this complicated. I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, well, we've argued about receiver and certain elements of this, but
Anquan
it's a
Boldin looked at Joe Flacco and said, "You look a little like Kurt Warner." Luke, let's break. We're going to get some defense in here. Luke and I are doing post-holiday, post-Christmas Ravens chatter. The Ravens game's been moved to a night game, been flexed out this week. We're going to have a lot of best stuff going on this week and some classic WNST stuff. My wife's donor is in town this week from Germany, so we are celebrating the holidays and trying to have some fun here. And hey, the Ravens are a playoff team, right? We don't have to talk baseball or Terps or anything else right now. We can just talk about the Ravens. It is Steelers week. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST. AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We'll talk some more Baltimore Positive right after this.